Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here on Truth Straight Up. If you see me grimacing every once in a while, I've had elbow problems. I just got shot up with cortisone, so I got a little pain there going, but that's makes it more challenging.
Maybe next time we'll give him Mary Poppins Happy Gas. That's there what we used go. To call the nitrous oxide when I was kid and we went to the dentist. Yeah, Mary Poppins Happy Gas. Hey, we got a good show coming up. I think we have Dave Williams, Representative Dave Williams. We're going to have him on the line with us. And then a lot to talk about, and we want to get your folks, give you a heads up. We'd like to get your feedback in terms of, you know, what do we do? It's my kind of thinking anymore. And this is part of Karen Catalina, fellow talk show host and friend of ours, has said that this whole, you know, the COVIDian cult, Michael Tao called it. You've got, you know, all of the left, the wokeness, all of that. It's a cult, right? And how do you deal with a cult? And should you deal with a cult? Another question I'm having these days is, you know, let it burn kind of concept. You see what's going on all over the country with the riots and the protests, which, of course, Jerry Nadler today said, oh, it's a myth, right? Myth.
Jerry Nadler's amazing.
He's a myth. Nasty. Yeah, wow. He's a myth.
But he's not a myth. He's a horror show.
Well, yeah, that's true. So a lot to talk about there. The show today brought to you, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice.
You got to go to that site. Got to go a couple times a day.
That's right. They have great stories, all from a conservative point of view. And stories you're not going to see in the Denver Post when you get down to it.
Or Complete Colorado.
Also, if you want to join us on Zoom, all you need to do is go to bbs.com. They have a link there. Or just Zoom. And the meeting number is 209-576-423. You can join us on Zoom. That way you can be video and audio. You want to call in? That number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. I'd like to make one request. We're at 999 followers on Twitter.
Wow.
So if one person out
just
one more could go, it's at Chuck and Julie One. If you're not following us on Twitter, we'd love to have you do that. Also on YouTube. And you can get to all of that through chuckandjulie.com.
And while you're at it, subscribe to us on YouTube.
Then we can go live. Like at the rally the other day that turned into the riot, we could have gone live if we have a certain number of YouTube subscribers. Dave, do we have you on the phone? I thought I heard you earlier.
I'm here.
All right. I wasn't sure for sure. Okay, so you said, I've been describing this. This is Representative Dave Williams, one of, as you said, the good guys in the Colorado legislature.
Represent the Castle Rock area.
And Region South. Yeah. Dave, just a quick story. You got to watch Chuck with geography. When we first started dating, Chuck had lived in downtown Denver forever. At the time, I was living in Broomfield. And he used to tell his friends he was going out of town. when he was going, I don't know, Philadelphia or something when he went to Broomfield. So, you know, anything south of Hamden is, you know,
out of town.
But anyway, you said what I'm calling an SOS to the White House, asking for help with some of the riots.
A great letter.
Yeah, since we've seen really zero action from Hancock or Polis. Why don't you tell us about that? And have you heard anything back?
Yeah, you bet. I haven't received a response yet. But on Thursday, I went ahead and I sent my letter over to the White House. Asking for assistance. I mean, you guys are fully aware. You were at the
we're aware
rally, and I mean, I don't have to tell you, it's becoming more and more dangerous every time something happens in the Denver metro area. And
well, anywhere they had one up north, and another Antifa crazy started to try to run people down with his car. They had one in Aurora where they went into the highways and just awful stuff.
Right. So I mean, I sent that letter, and in it, it essentially was an SOS. It's basically the Democrats abandoned Coloradans, and we're kind of left to fend for ourselves. And if no one is going to protect our lives and our property and our right to peacefully assemble and speech, then I don't know who else we look to. I mean, you tell me, but I think President Trump is at least committed to protecting these hates, and that's why I sent him the letter. And of course, I got a lot of hate for it.
Well, let me. I had pulled some video, and this is a video of the Jeep that was going down I-25. It's really short, and if you and hopefully we can play it here. If you listen to it, you can actually hear the gunshots that one of the protesters fired at the Jeep. So, guys at BBS, can you go ahead and kind of roll that Aurora the Jeep video, that first video I sent? So I don't know if you could hear the gunshots there. What happened there, and it's interesting, the Aurora police chief, it astonished me. She came out saying, I can't believe that people are driving down the interstate. Well, if you look at the other video, right, there's other video where the protesters, they swarm 225, Dave, and they're blocking other cars. So it's not like this car gets through a police blockade, drives down, they're trying to get it. And it's quick to see the car also had a flat tire. So it looks like there's some speculation that the protesters may have shot at the car. But clearly, you've got protesters there with guns, willing to shoot them. So far, they've just hit other protesters, and there haven't been any fatalities here. But you're right. I mean, what is going on with the governor?
I think it's absolutely insane that a police chief would talk about, I can't believe a vehicle would drive down the highway. Well, that's the point of the highway. I don't know why we're allowing protesters to block our roadways or our highways at all. I mean, that's a dangerous thing to do, and it's especially selfish given that, you know, what if there's a medical emergency and first responders need to use that roadway to get to someone. I mean, this is becoming anarchy here. And yeah, of course, the courthouse being, you know, set ablaze in Aurora, you know, obviously other pro-police rallies are being met with aggressive Antifa, BLM, you know, whatever you want to characterize them as, sympathizers who are, you know, getting violent. I don't know what else it's going to take to, you know, someone from the federal government to come in and say, hey, you know, we're gonna protect our citizens, because Polis and Hancock and, you know, who knows? I guess the jury's still out on Kaufman. We'll see what he says.
Right.
But you know, we're not getting any support. I mean, the thugs are taking over, and I don't know what else to do, because I'm getting asked by my constituents, you know, what is anyone doing? And I don't know how to. I don't know how to do anything other than request help.
Well, you know, and again, you know, you look at sort of the facts surrounding it. There was in Louisville, there was another protester shot, theoretically was going to shoot a person who was opposed to the riot, and then ended up shooting two other protesters. So we've got now protesters. I mean, there was, I think, some theory in the old days, right, Dave? And I covered a bunch of riots. I think there was some thought that if the cops kind of stood back, you let them have their thing, they kind of burn some trash cans, jump in a car. And then they all go home and we're all good for a couple of months. But that is not happening anymore. We've seen it over 50 days in Portland, that increasingly violent. Now we're seeing them showing up with guns, willing to shoot those guns at vehicles driving by that they've tried to attack. And you're right. I don't know, where does Mike Kaufman, Jared Polis, Michael Hancock, why do they think these police laying off tactics are going to be helpful and that they're going to work? We're seeing exactly the opposite.
Well, I don't know. I can't get in the mind of those people. And again, you know, Mike Kaufman, he's at least asking questions at a briefing today. That's all well and good, but I hope it's followed up with some action. Right. And I don't know. I've never thought it could get this way.
Right.
You know, these people are absolutely taking advantage of the situation and, of course, are using Democrats' beliefs against them. I mean, we got a report that in Civic Park across from the Capitol in the homeless encampment, that you actually had Antifa thugs there using that as a base of operation.
Sure.
That they had radios and they had sort of a command center HQ where they would go and orchestrate this chaos in downtown Denver. I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, there's a camping ban, theoretically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Denver voters.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, which we all approve.
Exactly.
Yeah, the camping ban. Just go down the Capitol. Go anywhere in the Capitol Hill area. You can see how it's rigorously enforced.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, right? We're not enforcing those rules, so why would anyone else, you know, follow the other rules or the laws that we have on the books? I mean, this is not, I mean, it's not quite Portland. It's not, you know, quite Seattle, right? But it's heading that direction. And that's, I think
our police chief came on radio and just lied his slimy ass off. I mean, he just lied. Oh, yeah, our guys got out there. I was sitting there, right? Our guys out there, first moment of problems. You know, he was just lying. And you know, I mean, you have a police chief who's hoodwinking the public, I guess some of the public. I mean, you got a governor who, I don't know what Polis does all the time, and I have no idea what Hancock is up to. But
well, yeah. They're kind of saying, oh, well, the state, let me ask you this, Dave, what do you think about the state patrol, number one, needing Denver's permission to protect the state capitol? And number two, before they can do that, though, I guess they have to go through Denver's de-escalation training. I mean, what do you make of that?
I mean, what I make of the whole situation are the governor's office and the mayor's office passing the buck off to each other. Whenever something happens, they point to each other and they're like, well, it's his fault or it's his fault. And it's got to end. Someone's got to take some leadership here. And theoretically, the state patrol has jurisdiction all over the state. So I don't understand how hard it is to protect the Capitol. I further don't understand why we don't deploy at least the National Guard to surround the Capitol if need be. I mean, these guys they took down fencing. They took down protective fencing around the Capitol to make it easier for these guys to vandalize the state Capitol even more.
Right, and they said they spray painted.
I don't understand the thinking here.
Well, they spray painted, we won't stop. Well, let me play devil's advocate for you just for a second, because I read an interesting column today, and the guy, and I forget, so I apologize whoever it is for not giving him credit, but it was like, you know, and I go like this too, I'm back and forth on we need to do something. And there's another part of me, Dave, that's starting to wonder, and Chuck, what do you think? Maybe let's just let it burn. Let's let these Democrat-controlled cities just burn. And maybe Trump should pull everybody back and said, handle it, go whatever. If this is what you guys want your cities to look like, let your cities look like that. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's a tough position, right? Because ultimately, if Trump does not intervene and he pulls it back and we all just let it burn, maybe that will wake up the voters to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't vote for people like Hancock or Polis, right? I mean, I get it. But at the same time, I mean, there are people who depend on an orderly society to run their business or their lives. And it's tough. I mean, I'm of the mindset that we need to at least have the police, present and making sure that property isn't vandalized. But if they're not going to do that, then we only got a few options. And those options are we throw the bums out come November. And if that doesn't work, then maybe we've got to start protecting our own, property in our own way. I mean, maybe we do got to form militias. That's what they're doing in Minneapolis, I think, right now.
Right.
They're forming their own militias to protect their property.
How do you throw the bums
not much.
Out when you've got cheat by mail? When you've got cheat by mail, how do you throw the bums out?
Well, yeah, that's what they do.
Well, see, that's sort of the problem, right? I don't know. I mean, this goes all the way back to what, the start of the decade when we passed all mail-in balloting?
Right.
Well, it really came in 2014.
And unfortunately, we have Republicans who are praising all mail-in balloting.
Well, you could get Republicans to praise the crucifixion of the party chair. You could get Republicans. I mean, we just had an election up in Weld County where we all elected all the Hillary Clinton-sponsored candidates, and it'll certainly be a challenge to Patrick and his leadership.
Yeah.
Because we decided, and that wasn't a mail balloting cheat by mail one, but millions of dollars, and all the Republicans, let's have the friends.
Let's have
future.
New leadership.
Yeah, new.
Well, and
cowardly,
then you see that. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I preach it. I mean, I understand. I understand. I'm frustrated too, and I don't understand why. Why we're letting this, I understand, but on our side in particular, you see very little leadership. I mean, you have guys like Patrick who are standing up, who are trying to do, right. something to fight back against Polis, but you see the entire Republican establishment kind of just sitting on their hands, wondering if Trump's going to win or lose and not doing much to be of any help come November.
No.
Let me ask you this. I submit, and we were listening, and we should get him on again, to our good friend, Democrat strategist Ted Trimpa, who said, you know, I fear, he said, Polis and Hancock are on the verge of losing the city. I submit, Dave, that it doesn't even matter who wins, right? I think these people, if Biden wins, these aren't kids or young people who are registering to vote. These are people who want to not work with the system. They want to destroy the system and burn it to the ground. So if Biden wins, I don't think this is going to stop. I think, I keep saying, this is the genie is out of the bottle. And if establishment Republicans and Democrats think that they can make all of this go away magically, you know, the day after the election, I think they are seriously mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I, you know, Ted, I actually follow him on Twitter and catch his interviews when he does them. And he'll be one of the Democrats saying, yeah, we shouldn't have this kind of destruction. There's nothing wrong with peaceful protest, but this kind of anarchy is unacceptable. And for the life of me, I don't understand why the other Democrats in power aren't kind of listening to him. I mean, he's right. The guy that put him there. You'd think they'd want to listen to him.
Because I don't see any pushback. I don't see Republicans or independents kind of going, well, the Democrats are screwing this up both locally, statewide, and nationally. And now we've got to, you know, we can't have this. One thing to have, you know, the corporate Democrats, but have the anarchists take over. I don't see any, not in the polls, not in the Twitters, not in anything.
Well, I mean, that's a part of the problem, right? I mean, I'm a little bit optimistic that, you know, maybe the people here in Colorado will kind of wake up and say, okay, it's probably not good that the city of Denver is burning.
But if you have cheat by mail, we had people calling
Chuck,
us.
You're being negative.
Well, I don't know, but it gets so tiresome. When they can go into an old age home and get 200 votes to zero, I mean, you're not going to win any elections if they get to do that.
We might still win. We have to at least.
Well, stop them. Let's start shooting them when they go over. Do anything. They're stealing the elections. And we know, you know, people, Democrats go to Washington. We never had a single problem here in Colorado with cheat by mail. It's worked out perfectly.
Yeah, but problem being the definition there. You know.
Well, I mean, I wish I had all the answers for you guys. All I know how to do is sound the alarm and make noise
and
try to shame them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Chuck, don't let Chuck get you down. I don't think he means to put the entire weight of the Republican Party on your shoulders.
not Dave's fault. Not Dave's fault
at
all.
And you are doing what you can.
I listened to Rush Limbaugh today, and he says, I don't see any pushback anywhere. I see Trump trying, but the rest of the country, I don't see chambers of commerce. I don't see business leaders. I don't see anybody giving pushback.
Well,
none.
And Dave, you know, you raise a good point about the people who make a living. I mean, you know, there are a ton of businesses around the Capitol. There are a ton of businesses there in Aurora where they're protesting. You know, to me, it's like we've got a 9-year-old, right? And right before all this happened, we went down to the state capitol and it was cool. He was looking to the can and he looked at the capitol, you know, and you can't take your kids down. Why would you, number one? It's like, here's the destroyed capitol. But I guess, you know, thank you, Elise, for saying this to Trump and standing up and saying, somebody needs to come in and stop this. I think, you know, like you said, I don't understand for the life of me. I can understand at first, maybe they were thinking, okay, the cops, we'll just placate them and they'll all go away. But we've shown now over the past, 3 months we're going on now, they're not going to go away and it's getting worse.
Well, you heard things like the Downtown Partnership, who's got to just be sucking. I mean, just be sucking. Have they even said a peep? No, they're not. They're watching all their businesses are being destroyed, and that yet they're kind of, well, you know, that's good.
At least we're going to redo the 16th Street Mall.
Yeah, that's right. Before we burn it.
Right. I mean, this is the government they voted for, though. I mean, this is what they want. My question is, are they going to change course? Or are they going to start, returning balance to Colorado? And I honestly don't know. I'm optimistic that we can get there, but it's going to take, you know, Republicans coming together, fighting against Polis. But if the establishment, you know, is just kind of sitting on their hands and they're not doing a damn thing, then it's probably not likely that we'll get any headway.
Well, what do your constituents say? I got to wonder, in your sense, because you are out there all the time talking to people. I know in my conversations with people who aren't particularly political at all, actually, they are somewhat, not even somewhat, they're horrified by what's going on. They're mad about the lockdown. They're mad about their businesses being closed down. They're mad about having to wear a stupid mask. They're horrified by watching these violent protests night after night. And you got to wonder, though, are they going to go out to vote? I mean, where do you think the country is on this? Or at least your district, if that's as close.
I mean, my So, you know, I'm a pretty vocal guy, and you guys know that. And, you know, when I put my letter out, it started getting coverage. And then, you know, I started getting emails and phone calls from my constituents saying, finally, thank you, you know, for doing something. And I had already been, you know, trying to do what I could to speak out against POLUS. But, you know, the fact that the media picked it up and got it out there was helpful. I think the problem and the challenge is that there are Republicans like me and like Pat Neville and others who are trying, you know, to sound the alarm, speak out and fight against, you know, Democrats all around the country. And it's just hard for us to get our message out to a great deal of people because we just don't have the infrastructure or the money to get our right. message out like maybe President Trump does. And so
talking to Dave Williams,
I think people
from El Paso County, one of the top Republicans, talking about what can we do?
Sending an SOS to the White House to send some federal troops in.
Send an SOS to the White House, go beat up on some Democrats and you know, get your friends to vote against them come November.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've heard Cory Gardner. He went on Stephen's show, and, you know, he was just as bland and as blah and as noncommittal as he could be. I mean, he just wanted to talk about the Great Outdoors Act, which the Democrats.
God bless Cory Gardner. I wish him the best, but I'll tell you right now, people are pissed. They are tired of the anarchy and the chaos, and they're looking for leadership. And if, you know, Cory wants to run his campaign like that, you know, good luck. I think people want a little bit more assertiveness and aggressiveness coming from Republicans, because I think you're right, Chuck. There's not a lot of opposition going against these radical Democrats.
Not a lot of fire in the belly, and not a lot of kind of. No. I mean, I you know, he's running a campaign out of the 1950s.
Right, honestly. When everything's hunky dory. Yeah. Well, Dave, anything else you want folks going on that you want folks to be aware of? You writing any more letters that we need to know about?
I mean, I'm always on the lookout to write letters and send them off. Whether or not they do any good, we'll see. But I guess at this point, what I would encourage your listeners to do is make sure that, you know, Pat Neville remains the leader for the House Republicans. I mean, there is going to be a challenge from
Hugh McClain,
Rhino Republicans, and we can't let that stand.
I agree.
All right.
Agree
All right, totally. Dave, well, listen, thank you for coming on the show. Let us know if you hear from the White House. But thank you, and I appreciate you at least giving it an effort.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go.
Dave Williams, representative from El Paso County, one of the good guys.
That's right. And here's a comment from Sandra. Absolutely outrageous and to me frightening. This violence is way out of hand, and nobody on the left is doing anything. Good for Dave Williams. I'm assuming not many on the Republicans that are helping either, or better yet, who is? You know, but we all are. I want to play you another video. At least finally, some of the police departments are fighting back. The Seattle Police Department today released a video. 59 officers were injured over the weekend because the Antifa people, it's broader than that, right? These are thugs. They're shining laser beams at the officers to blind them. They're throwing rocks. They're throwing firecrackers. They're throwing explosives. As we know now that many of them are armed, so you got to wonder. But guys at BBS, if we could roll that Seattle police video, this is what they released earlier today. So what that was, if you were just listening, that was video that Seattle police released from their body cams. You could see, and there's way worse video out there, but you could see the protesters, they're throwing explosives at the officers, they're throwing rocks, and you see the cops are kind of standing there. There's a line of police officers and there's a line of protesters. And did you see this? A federal judge just ruled that the city banned the use of less than lethal force, yeah. which of course means the cops can only now use lethal force,
right,
or yeah. they have to stand there and have stuff thrown at them. Well, a judge prohibited that ban from going into effect.
Really?
But you can see what the cops are faced with.
Well, there. I mean, I heard the Seattle police chief is a black woman saying, you know, if we can't, we'll obey whatever the city council tells us, but we can't use non-lethal force. We cannot protect anybody.
Right, right.
From the rioters. We just...
let alone ourselves. So what do you guys think? 888-627-6008 is the number. 888-627-6008. If you want to, on Zoom, if you want to chime in, you can go ahead and just unmute yourself and pop in. But, you know, I think Dave Williams had a good point, because there is a part of me that's like, let it burn, right? If this is what the voters of Denver...
Dave's point. That was your point.
No, but he said, what about the legitimate businesses? Somebody's got to protect them.
Well, they're not protecting themselves. Yeah. That's what the downtown partnership is for.
Right.
It's, you know, forget the Denver Chamber of Commerce, which is a Democratic lapdog, but the downtown partnership has only one thing, to promote businesses in downtown Denver. And I've heard not a word.
No.
Not a word from them. I mean, it's just amazing that they're willing to go gently into that good night.
Well, and I go back to, again, you know, there was a time when I think that was an effective police tactic. When you had one night of protest, you kind of stood back, tried to keep it from getting too out of hand, then you would sort of clear them out, and then everyone would go home. But when you have people coming out night after night, weekend after weekend, every time they get a little bit more bold, right? They have completely defaced and broken out many of the windows at the state capitol. The fencing doesn't make any difference. They go past that. In Aurora, now they're breaking windows, breaking into the courthouse and setting it on fire. And if you think this is not coordinated, I got to tell you, it is. These are tactics that they are trying. They're sort of...
They're very organized.
But yet the experiment is in Seattle and Portland, where they're receiving zero resistance from law enforcement or city leaders. And they're like, okay, it works there. Let's go do it here. You see what happens. They close down interstates. They march across the interstates. And what an idiot. I'm sorry. The interim Aurora police chief was like, well, what was the car doing driving on the interstate? It's like,
interstate.
My God, what's just going on in this country? It was on the interstate. Number two, it was trapped. It was clear. You could see video from other cars where the protesters are stopping the car. They're opening the windows. There's been reports of them coming up to other people with guns. That's what happened in Louisville, right? That some of the protesters are approaching people in the vehicle with guns. And what are you supposed to do? If you're a car, you're driving down 225 on a Saturday afternoon, and all of a sudden you're mobbed by people who are attacking your car, and you speed up to try to get away, and the police chief says, oh, we're thinking about charging the driver. Now, fortunately, they put pictures up of the kid who had the gun there, and they're asking for people to help identify him. Like, nobody at that riot knew who he was, right?
Right. Let's go to our phones. We've got Sherry from Lakewood.
Hey, Sherry. Thanks for calling.
Hi, you guys. I kind of wanted to, there's so much I want to say, it's just how to say it. You were talking about, what do you do if this is a cult or something on that order? What I would like to say is, if you really look at stuff, everything is connected. Everything. Like, the people, okay, they said 150,000 Americans have died from the COVID, okay?
Right.
But then, of course, we know that they died from something else. They just,
right.
A lot of them happened to have the COVID. But I was reading today, about half of those residents were in nursing homes.
Yes.
And then if you go back and look at what Henry Kissinger said, he said that he's the one that came up with the idea of the elderly are useless eaters.
Oh.
If you start looking at things that Kissinger said,
he was quoting Mao Zedong. He said, these are useless mouths.
In his book, The Final Days.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going on, though.
Then you look at George Floyd's family, and they appealed to the United Nations for justice, okay?
Yeah.
Because of this systematic racism and the police brutality. But now, I don't know if you saw, the United Nations just ordered the Trump administration to stand down in Portland.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. So we got the UN now telling us what to do. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
great.
Okay,
that's
sure.
great.
Yeah.
Right. But if you read Agenda 21,
that's going on right now.
Yeah. You know, Sherry, I got to say, there was a time when I would have said, oh, the Agenda 21 people, I don't know. But anymore, you're like, something's going on, right?
Agenda 21 is real.
Right, I mean, exactly. You've got, why do we think, okay, so Jeff Bezos made in one day, like, whatever, $17 billion or something, all of this. Right. You've got Nike, you've got all these corporations that are seemingly woke. They're the ones, and you're absolutely right, who are going to benefit from all of this. That's why I think they're encouraging it. You're right. They could care less about anybody's lives mattering. All they care about is their investors, you know, and the return to the investors.
Well, they don't care about the investors. They care about the return to themselves and their bonuses. And they care about investors.
But there's something, okay, that's going on in Africa right now. It's called the trust stamp, okay? And what it is they're going to go into low-income, remote communities in Africa, of course, to
introduce them. There are lots of those.
Yeah, exactly. And what it is, it's a biometric identity platform, and it's partnered with Gates-funded Gavi, the Vaccination Alliance, right? But also MasterCard, and it's going to combine with the COVID vaccination, cashless payments. See, this way, if everything cash, you know how dirty it is now? It's been in.
Right. And there's a coin shortage.
Got all over it. They want to go with digital currency. They want to be able to have your health record on you, chip, so they can know exactly who you are. You know the social score in China?
Yes.
If you put something on Twitter or something you're not supposed to, you're not going to get a go on a plane ride out of the country. You're not going to get on public transportation. All of a sudden, we don't need the police, because if you jaywalk, those surveillance cameras know it was you. They can just remove the fee that you need to pay right from your digital cash.
Yeah, there you go.
And you've got it now. And that's one of the things I think that they're trying to encourage with this whole kind of mask shaming, right? So, you know, report your neighbor, report your friend, report your kid for not wearing a mask.
Rob was not wearing his mask in bed last night.
He's going to call up and report us to the school. Hey, Sherry, listen, we got to go. But go ahead. Final comment.
And what is with the masks, okay? What got shut down with you guys when you were downtown? Freedom of speech. Drag me.
Yeah. All right, Sherry. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Now I'm more worried than I was before.
We have our good friend Mark Griffin. Who's got a great program on 560 from 1 to 2 every day, and we're going to be on his show tomorrow.
Mark, thanks for joining us on Zoom.
Thanks for joining us.
I can't wait to have you guys on. We're going to have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you make of all of this? What do you think? Is it should we let it burn, or do we need to step in, and how do we step in, and what happens if we don't step in?
You know, I really think that you got to feel bad for the innocent people in those areas. I read a funny anecdote about a very liberal lefty sports talk show host in Seattle.
Yes, I read that too.
He had taken a stroll last week at night and said, oh, there's no vandalism, there's no burning, there's no looting. And then he came home, I believe Saturday night, and his apartment was had to be evacuated because he lives above a Starbucks that they completely destroyed. And the police can't go back home because there might be explosives in there. And so he says, I need to buy a firearm.
Oh, there you go.
Making conservatives one at a time, right?
Yeah. He was an ESPN guy.
Yeah, well, now they're going to fire him, though, for saying that. You know that's going to happen. Yeah, I think there are enough innocent people there. I do agree, bottom line, with Dave Williams.
There are no innocent people.
No, we're innocent, and Mark is innocent. But you can't just let this happen. You can't let the thugs take over a city. They've already taken it over.
We know about them taking over a city. We went down to the Plaza.
And I think that anyone who thinks that this isn't part of a bigger plan by the Democrats is mistaken. But where I think, Mark, the Democrats are screwing up is it's a tiger by the tail, right? And I don't think they're going to.
I agree with you there. And I do think that the optics have to be the right way. I think Trump could be heavy-handed. I think that you let it go on a little further and make them beg for his help. Because at some point, the residents of Seattle are going to say, this is enough. You know, you would think so. But yeah. At the same time, I've heard Seattle residents, a conservative talk show guy being interviewed on another radio program, and the host said, well, you know, why aren't people responding? He said, you know, basically he said leftism is a mental disorder and they just don't get it.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. What I hate to see is what happened in Aurora. I'm telling people on my show, don't go to any blue enclaves at night, because if you get into a bunch of people, you may have to run somebody over to save your own life, because they're going to pull you out of your car and beat you to death.
Well, and we've seen them trying to pull people out of the car. There's some video, and it's hard to find, but it's because, again, the media suppresses
it. Well, how do you avoid the blue enclaves? Westminster is a blue enclave. Yeah. It's majority Democrats, majority emerge women.
I'm worried about our country. I don't see how this how the end game is, where it ends.
Right. No, I agree with you there. I think no matter what happens. Well, listen, Mark, thank you for chiming in. Once again, where should folks go? Because we'll be there in studio at 1 o'clock tomorrow on your show.
Weekdays, 1 p.m. Mountain Time on 560 KLZ. The easiest way to listen is to download the KLZ app on your phone.
All right.
Well, thank you, sir. Look forward to it. Good to see you.
See you later. Thank you. Thank you there. Mark Griffith there.
He's a great guy. Got to listen to his show.
Yeah.
Listen to his show.
Father Hugh called him.
Father Hugh called him. So if Father Hugh's calling him, you're not cool unless you listen to that show.
888-627-6008 is the number to call for us. 888-627-6008. I wanted to then, Mark actually gave me the perfect segue to shift into what I think is one of the other underlying issues. And that is something, as I mentioned earlier, our good friend and fellow talk show host Karen Cataline has mentioned a lot of times. And that is, she's been saying this for a while, that this is a cult. If you look at the progressive Democrats, climate change, right? Stuff
now,
like
that.
That
is a cult.
If you look at sort of just, we'll have to be woke now, right? Certain words we can't say. AP is capitalizing B in Black Lives Matter, but not W, or B in Black, but not W in white. You look at some of the things that, you know, you can't, you have, there's just no questions about the mask, like Michael Tao called it the COVIDian cult, right? And it is a cult. And that becomes a problem because these are not people. When we were at this rally, I was trying to say to this one woman, the woman who was screaming in my face, why won't you let us talk? And she just screamed F you at me and marched off to scream in someone else's face. You cannot, and I think, and we need to realize this, we cannot have a conversation with those people. They don't care about conversations. It is a bizarre cult-like religious belief. And you can't really sit down with people.
Leftism? What's the cult?
All of it. I mean, I think it's broader than just, you've got the cult, you've got the coronavirus stuff, you've got the wokeness, you've got things like climate change, you've got, you know, again, anyone can see we need to go into the state capitol and take care of the state capitol. And yet Jared Polis doesn't. Like you said, the Downtown Denver Partnership, they just don't. There's this weird, overwhelming cult, I think, approach. And you can't go into a cult and sit down and say, you know, let me explain to you why this cult thing really doesn't make much sense. They would shoot you or something. The cult people don't care about that. So then the question becomes, what do you do? I mean, what do you do if in this country, you know, the whole free marketplace of ideas where you share ideas, everybody can say what they think, and then people sort of rally around one or the other. But we used to always be willing to listen to each other. But the other side is not even remotely willing to listen to us. And I think that that's where, Chuck, we need to do, just ignore them. I don't think there's any point.
You can't ignore them.
Not ignore them. You just write them off, basically. It'd be like,
well, I don't know how you write them off when they're, You want to have a little event and they're all trying to kill you. You go, oh, let's write them off.
Well, no. What I mean, though, is if you're at the event, you don't bother trying to change their mind. You don't go on a Twitter war with them and try to change their mind unless somehow you think it's going to benefit you. But I think what we have to do is what you keep talking about. And that is we need to reach, we being conservatives, we need to, or even populists, I'll just call this populists. We need to reach the people who think that somehow or another, they don't have to pay attention to this, that this doesn't really matter. Because I go back to, I think I used to think that maybe if we could just have enough facts on our side, which we do, you could talk to people and say, no, look, I mean, there are doctors today in DC saying 99.8% of the people who get coronavirus are going to be just fine, right? And the remaining 0.2% are people overwhelmingly over the age of 80 with, you know, all kinds of other complicating factors. And you try to tell this to somebody who's freaking out about getting coronavirus, and they don't hear you, right? They don't even hear you. They're just like, well, wear your mask or I'll pepper spray you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're not, well, I guess, you know, I studied a lot of Marxist theory, and the key about Marxist theory is stupid. I mean, it's just asinine. I mean, it's, you know, from each according to their abilities to each according to their needs. It's a disaster. It's been a disaster anywhere it's been tried. It's a disaster. It just is contrary to human nature. And yet, you know, half the world was communist for a while. I mean, you know, so if you think you can argue with people, you can argue, it's stupid. Marxism, communism is stupid. They go, oh, what do you know?
So what do you do then?
War, fight. I mean, that's all you can do. Fight the fight. I mean, because there is no ignoring them. They're not going to let you ignore them. They're not going to leave you alone in your suburbs or your homes or your schools or anywhere else. So that you just have to fight, fight, fight. And I don't see a lot of fight right now.
Here's something else insidious too, talking about homes and suburbs. One of the things I had a friend send me this text, and we've talked about this before at the newspaper, where in Denver, and it is now a progressive city kind of thing, where there's a push to get rid of single family homes, right? They want to be able to have, you can have a home, but it's a group home. And by group home, it's not a rehab home or something like that. It's just a home where you can have
four or five people,
any number of people, actually more than that, like 10 or 11 people, like a commune, basically, don't have to be related. And they want to destroy single family homes. Yes. And then that's going to start in Denver. Then they're going to move it to Westminster, right? So you can have essentially one of the things you do to protect your property values is you move into a neighborhood and everybody else owns their property and they own their homes. You've all got a vested interest in keeping things up. But when you move into that kind of thing, there are all kinds, that's why they have residential zoning, single family home zoning, and then apartment zoning, right? There are different kinds of issues that come up with and different kinds of needs that come up with that. But that's another thing they're trying to do too, to destroy the suburbs, I think.
I think it is. And they're going to destroy them. In fact, the Trump administration got rid of a rule that they had that would allow them, the federal government, to help make suburbs pay for cities and for to have, you know, joint ownership of homes and to have group homes and everything else. So I think it's, let me ask you a question. Am I the only one? John Lewis. I mean, John Lewis walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge along with, you know, hundreds of other people.
Wait, before we get to that, we've got Karen Cataline.
Oh, okay.
And let me go to her before we switch gears a little, because I think she's responding to the call. Hey, Karen Cataline, online. Oh, Sandra, first let me read a comment from Sandra. She's right about this. Lakewood is a great example. Apartments, townhomes, everything. You're right. They're destroying Lakewood. Now we got Karen online one. Hey, Karen, I've been quoting you today.
Hi, it's good to talk to you both. I try always to catch your show.
Thank you.
I had trouble on my Zoom. I couldn't pull it up. So that's why I'm on the phone. I share your feelings, and my answer really to the question that was earlier, how do you fight back? What do you do? Is, and it's an overriding answer, is that we must defeat them. And there are strategies for doing this, particularly when your voice is being drowned out. Obviously, I can't share all the ideas that I have. I mean, I have a lot of them, but the mask, as I've said many, many times, is a focal point for fighting back, because it affords, every single person can relate to it. And when you're dealing with cult members, really, about the only thing you can do with them, is to get them to ask that very first question. They've been brainwashed. What we're seeing today, you know how I have a tendency to get off the subject because everything is related to everything else. I think Sherry is a wonderful caller because she isn't afraid to say that this country is under attack in a very big way, in the biggest way potentially in our history. And I did attend that Support the Police rally in Erie, Colorado.
Okay.
When a wacko decided to drive off the road and basically go after people standing there with flags. You saw that on Complete Colorado.
Right.
And in terms of the, I know, in terms of defeating them, you don't go where you know you're going to be outnumbered. You're strategic. What I was going to say was the few Black Lives Matter people that showed up at that Erie, Colorado thing with all of those people armed to the teeth and an undercover black cop who ran down, I mean, and caught the person who
the driver
into the crowd.
Right.
Well, that's why the people there that were Black Lives Matter were young, skulls full of mush kids. There were about five of them, and they were ignoramuses and very, very pathetic looking critters. And one of the cops went over there and sat down and talked to them. But you don't go where you know you're going to be outnumbered. I don't agree with Boyle.
Well, then you give up half the state, Karen.
Yeah.
Then you give up the biggest areas. You give up the Capitol. You give up everything. You could be hiding out in Washington County, afraid of Antifa.
That's where I go back and forth. On the one hand, I agree with you. And yet on the other hand, I agree with Randy Corcoran, who says, no, I'm going to go right back to the amphitheater because what do you do? All of a sudden they keep, you know, it'll be just like on that stage, right? We had our whole stage and then they kind of push us back until we were all like standing in this little spot. And that's, you know, it's not like a microwave answer, right? So much in the society, we think, oh, there's got to be three bullet points and boom, problem solved. And this is not that.
Yeah. It's not a simple answer. The way that I put it is, I am for anyone, any patriot who displays and who's willing to push back. Everybody finds their high watermark as to what they can do.
Good point.
The only thing that's not an option, in my opinion, is doing nothing because you're doing
that.
It's not an either or proposition. I came to the conclusion that, you know, I've always been stronger mentally than I've been physically, you know, and I may not be the right person. You got to assess your weaknesses and your strengths and contribute something to the cause. That's what you got to do. And you got to be a leader in your own community.
Right.
I wholeheartedly support flash mobs in stores that have decided that there are mommies and our daddies instead of people who sell us meat and socks.
Right.
And Walmart, for an example, is not doing well by suddenly saying that they're going to give us a rule about masks, but which they won't enforce. They want their cake and eat it too.
Right, right.
And so we have to go to those places and realize we don't want government grocery stores.
Yeah,
so for everybody, there's a place for everybody to fight back. What we can't do is just say, well, we have to do this or that. No, they're fighting us on every front.
Good
point.
We have
to fight them on every front.
You know, you're absolutely right, Karen. Actually, that's a good way to look at it. It's not like it's a war, but it's more of guerrilla warfare than it is some massive, you know, time-tested battle strategy. And you're right. That's how they fight it, right? They fight it on every little front that they can. And I think you're absolutely right. And I think you are also right. And you were a leader. You're ahead of the curve on the cult thing. You're ahead of curve on the mask thing. And I agree with you there. I think the mask is a training exercise. It's like, you know, you sort of slowly turn up the temperature of the frog in the pot.
Get everybody to obey.
And then you teach people to
stitch. It is a psychological operation to get people to do the dumbest possible things to see if they will obey. It is also a way to muzzle us. Look at how it has us all looking the same.
Right.
We are now a homogeneous bunch of lemmings.
We all look like
Mandler. And think what it's done to lipstick sales, for God's sakes. You know, you can't even wear.
What's
it's
that?
Hard. It messes up your makeup and your lipstick. And it's just, you know.
And it's preposterous. And the dumber it is that they tell you to do something that's stupid, the better they like it, to see just how far you're willing to go to have your mind washed. All right.
Yes.
And oh, don't you love it that Walmart took their line from the government because now they are a government grocery store, said the reason they're not going to enforce this law that they themselves imposed is because they're afraid for their security people because maskless people are dangerous, right?
They
say that freedom lovers are dangerous, but who go down and burn cities and police departments in Aurora and in Seattle, they're the good
ones. They're
wearing
safe.
Masks. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got on that point, I have to, Marianne Goodland, who's a writer with Colorado Politics, who we've had on the show, who I like and respect, but totally missed a point. So there was in Mulk County over the weekend, there was a Mexican rodeo and a concert, right? And none of the people were wearing masks there. And all anyone was focusing on was like the mask issue. No, I'm like, okay, these rodeos, and I don't know if this one was one, but typically these rodeos, well, number one, what a lot of them are money laundering efforts for the cartels,
well,
right?
Okay.
Because there's all kinds of illegal.
There's all
kinds of illegal gambling. Okay. There's animal abuse. I'm like, are you kidding me? When I was at Fox, we did investigative pieces on some of these rodeos. So, and again, I go back to it. They're money laundering things for the cartels.
We all got
and all that the reporters
they didn't
in Colorado,
have masks. They're
they
our friends.
Wearing their freaking
they're our
masks.
They're
it's
our
like,
friends.
Never
we love
mind. Them. Never mind.
We love no, Julie.
Never
no, Julie.
Mind
totally
the animal abuse. Never mind
the
guys.
All right, Karen, thanks. Karen, we got to go.
Oh, sorry about that.
Where can people hear you? I'd like to give you a little shout-out.
Oh, KarenCataline.com every Friday at noon in Colorado in Mountain Time and all over the place. Just go to KarenCataline.com.
It's everywhere. She's everywhere.
And,
she's just
keep
great.
Up the fight and be strong, strong, strong.
All right. You too,
thank
man.
You, Karen.
Hey, before we go to something else, you want to tell folks real quick about Synergenics?
I do. Naturally, you know, Synergenics shares the concern in the current health situation. It's top of mind of everyone. But Julie McCallum and the folks over at Synergenics are there to support you and get you wherever you need to be. Today, full availability, medical support by phone, email, text messaging. They'll provide you incredible personalized medicine. It's not just, you know, okay, here's this. They do it to you. They test. They find everything you need, where you're good, where you can use improvement, and they work all the way through, and it's the greatest age management that you'd ever have. That's Synergenics, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, or go to Synergenics, CENEGENICS.com. You'll be glad you did. This is a good time to get all the health that you possibly can get. And
yeah,
I'm
going to just think, Chuck had some, we had a little bit of other questions on his health. He's fine. Don't worry, except for his elbow is sore. But it was like over the weekend, he calls Julie McCallum. She calls him back. I mean, I don't know what doctor does that, right?
No,
she calls
him
back. She goes like, hey, here's what I think you need to do.
Yeah,
go ahead. Here's a prescription.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you call, and then she said, no, call me back to tell me how it's working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You know, like she's going to answer the phone and she answers the phone. She's like, Chuck, is it working?
Yeah,
I mean, you tell me where you can find a doctor who does that and who cares that much. You just can't. We only get a couple minutes
left.
I
want to get my John L. Lewis. John L. Lewis is a chairman of SNCC.
Oh, now you're going to get us fired. But we can't get fired now.
You can't get fired. From 63 to 66. Woo, woo, right? I mean, that was kind of the Antifa of the time. And it got more radical. Then he rocked the Edmund Bettis Bridge along with thousands of other people, which is great. I mean, you know. And then 86 started representing Atlanta. And it just sat in the House doing nothing for 36 years, other than making himself rich.
He had to go to a lot of meetings, too.
A lot of lunches, and he ate a lot of lunches. Why people like Fox are spending the entire day as if this was the greatest human being there ever was. I mean, just amazing how the left can kind of go, see, you know, our guy, you all have to bow down to. I mean, if it's noting his death, noting his modest accomplishments, all right, but this endless lionizing.
Yeah, he was all of a sudden Satan. Oh, he become a saint,
yeah,
right?
Oh, it was unbelievable. And it's just how the left is so smart.
They make it right. Well, I mean, again, you know, there's the new cult is racism, right? Everybody's a racist, right? And no matter if you're white, doesn't matter whether your ancestors had anything to do with slavery or not, you're racist. There's nothing you can do. It's sort of like, you know, at least in Catholicism and Christianity, you can get forgiven. There's no forgiveness here.
Well,
you must
white America lost 600,000 lives freeing the slaves in the South.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Your
doesn't
relative
matter.
Died in the Civil War to free the slaves.
It doesn't matter that the statue they teared down had nothing to do with any of this. Doesn't matter.
Well, a Union soldier fighting to free the slaves. Okay. that's
racist.
What they tore that racist.
I know. It is a cult.
It's gotten so bad.
Hey,
it has gotten so bad.
We got to wrap up. That'll do it for us today.
But listeners, tomorrow on Mark Griffin's show, that's KLZ
right.
560, and we'll be on from
1 to 2. Hey, and then my plea again, if somebody, if one person, I know this is pathetic, but still, we're up at the 999 followers on Twitter. So if you
we're begging you.
We're begging you. If you could go to Chuck and Julie at 1, you can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. That'll link you to Facebook. Please take a second to go ahead and subscribe. Thank you to everybody who called in.
Thank you
to Dave Williams, and thanks to everybody on Zoom. We'll see you Wednesday. Oh, and thanks to BBS. Thanks to everybody at BBS.
Doug and Don.